Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. So we're going to move, just shift gears a little bit. I want to share a short message on doing good. Doing good. Let me just pull up my notes and then we will get underway. Lord Jesus, we love your ways, Lord. We honor you as the greatest giver, the one who has the greatest compassion and love, the one who stands for justice, the one who surrounds us with peace. Lord, help us to connect this morning into your world, that we would share that with others and go about our days doing good like you did. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about new governments, you know, obviously elections and change of governments. And do you ever play the game, if I was in power, what would I do? In your own head. And it's not a great conversation piece. But I find myself wondering, you know, like, what if you were to start up a brand new government or a new country? What if you were to invent a new society? Have you ever played that game in your head? No. All right. Well, I do. I do, occasionally. But I start thinking, what would I build into? If I started from zero, what would I build? What would be the foundations of the world that I built? What would I frame as key cornerstones of the way that our society would be shaped? You know, blank check, blank environment. Just what would I grow as the fabric of society? Well, that's what God did. Did you know that? He from the beginning, created something beautiful. Not just an incredible planet. I mean, unbelievable planet and solar systems and galaxies. I mean, that is astonishing. But do you know that wasn't the final piece? The best thing he placed in this creation is you and I. You know that? I, as astonishing as the Milky Way is, you and I, he says, that's very good. He said, we are the epitome of creation. You are more significant than Pluto or Neptune or the Andromeda Galaxy or Mars. You are. That's astounding. And so he places people, mankind, in the middle of this amazing creation and says, go and build a culture. Go and build an environment. Go and create. What are you going to create it on? I want to go there. I want to show you three pillars of who God is that he framed into the fabric. Let me show you an image to try and illustrate where my head's at. Can you imagine? Here you are in the beginning, wading into a place, wading in, and then you come across three pillar stones, three cornerstones, and engraved on them are three words. You go, I can't read those words. Any Hebrew readers here? I'm up there with the Greek. Not good. But I know what these words are. And these words frame how God has created the universe. It's who God is. And when we tap into those three things, we find ourselves in a really good space. Because we're talking this whole season around how to practice things that do good for our soul, right? Rest, simplicity, Sabbath, you know. Doing good is actually one of these. It's actually better to do good to others than to yourself. You actually feel better in your soul. So I'm not trying to lay you up with a burden. I'm trying to help you to adjust. Here are these three things. I'm glad you asked. First one is justice. Mishpat. It's an ancient Hebrew word that says justice. Deuteronomy 10, 18 describes God like this. He says, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. He loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. He executes justice. I mean, he acts out justice. There are situations in our world which are crying out for justice right now. Okay? If you've never been in a situation where you need justice, then we wonder, well, why do we need a judicial system or police, or why do we need an army? Well, right now there are situations in our world that require justice. And if you've ever been severely wronged, you'll understand the need to be right. Justice. God does that. He actually executes it. He does it. He brings in justice for, look at this, the fatherless and the widow. In those times, people couldn't survive. You know, they couldn't provide for themselves if they didn't have a father or a husband. But God helps those people who are helpless. The sojourner, the guest traveler, giving them food and clothing. God does that. Right in the fabric of the DNA of our planet is this idea of justice. It's written over 200 times in the Old Testament, this word. What does it mean? Well, it's rich. It carries social, ethical, religious connotations. But it's not just strict legal justice. It's also good custom and good practice. It's not just about being right or wrong. It's about what do you do out of that to help people. If you and I can tap into the justice of God in our world, we'll be going somewhere. And you see it all the way through the Old Testament, the New Testament. For example, when God grabbed his people from Egypt. They were stuck there for 400 years. Slaves. Like really bad slaves. Slaves where they just abused, mistreated. And God says, no, it's time. I'm going to set my people free. And he executed justice by taking them out of the land of Egypt in a dramatic fashion, rescued them, and then put them in their own land. You see the theme of justice throughout the Bible. Second one, if we come back to that screen, thanks, Naomi, is loving kindness. It's the Hebrew word hesed. Again, rich, rich word that actually English has no word for, hesed. The Bible translators have huge amounts of word for it. It's like mercy, loving kindness, love, compassion, unwavering compassion, faithfulness, all these words that the New Testament translators, Old Testament translators, tried to work out, what does this word actually mean? How can you capture in a word how God acts in his people? And loving kindness is probably the closest. But did you know? Look at this, Psalm 106, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. That word, steadfast love, loving kindness, chesed, it endures forever. His loving kindness extends to thousands of generations. His loving kindness extends to you this morning. He's interested in your welfare. Not just the justice of it all, whether it's right or wrong and helping you in situations, but actually caring for you. Did you know that? Each morning, he delights to be with you. He's actually looking after your welfare. He's actually interested in how you feel. He's interested in the things around you. He's wanting to make sure that you have what you need. He's wanting to make sure that you're in a sound mind. That's how God views you. But how different is that to the way that we think that God might be viewing us, if we're honest? Or how the world around us might think that God might be viewing us. Some stern, distant God who's waiting for us to trip up and get things wrong and go bang. Have you ever had that view of God? It's time to remove that view of God. It's not biblical. Have you ever thought of that impression that God is sitting in judgment on you and just looking down on you with disdain, or at best, it tolerates you? Ever had that thought? It just puts up with me. We say that sometimes. Yeah, I'm just a sinner. And we downplay ourselves. Sure. Sure, we get things wrong. But the heartbeat of God for us is loving kindness. That's why the first thing in our life framework is love. You are loved by the creator of the universe. Until you get that, our views of God are going to be slightly twisted, either by The Simpsons or things we've watched. You know, whether or the certain television channels or, you know, whatever view of God that they're trying to take. It's God's desire that you should be surrounded by loving kindness. And I love it. Again, in the story in the Bible when God takes his people in an act of justice. He takes them out of the land of Egypt. But what does he do in the desert as he's taking them into their new place? He provides for them. Every day he's feeding them manna from heaven. Then he sets quails and food amongst them. Water comes out of the rock. Like, even in the most difficult places, God is providing loving kindness. He provides them with clothes and shoes that don't wear out. That'd be nice. Kindness. God is kind towards you. That's the fabric of this world. And the last one, I hear you ask. Oh, this is my favorite. Shalom. Peace. Peace. Look at this. Psalm 35:27. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Welfare, shalom, peace. Great is the Lord, he says, let all of us shout and sing praise to God because great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. That's astonishing. God delights in your peace. God delights to see you filled with peace. But we live in a world where the expectation of hard work and striving and doing things and achieving and getting somewhere are more important than our inner world, right? But God delights in your peace. God loves it when you wake up in the morning and your heart is still and peaceful. Have you ever experienced that? That's right. Then we wake up, and there's 5 minutes and you've been awake and already. Or is that just me? God delights in the welfare of his servants. He's looking after us. He doesn't want us to live in frantic, painful trials. He actually loves it when we wake up and go, I smell two-stroke. Sorry. The serenity of it all. If you're young, it's a movie. The Castle, you got to watch it. But I love that scene. Like it's the most ridiculous place. Power lines, two-stroke. You can find peace anywhere. Look at this. Peace, this word shalom, means completeness, soundness, welfare, wholeness, unity, balance. Don't you want that? Don't you want that on the inside of you? It's what God delights to give you. When God brings his people, act of judgment and justice, out of the wilderness, he looks after them with his loving kindness and he brings them into what a land of milk and honey, he says. A land of provision and plenty. A land of delight. A land of riches. Okay, let's shift gears just a little. That's God. In the DNA, in the fabric of the universe he's created, these are the three pillars of our society. It should be. It's in the atmosphere, right? Doesn't our world need these things? Don't your friends, your family, your kids, your grandkids, your workmates, your colleagues, don't they need, wouldn't they benefit from having these things in their world? Wouldn't it be awesome if the people near you, the person who's stressing out next to you at work and cursing out, attacking a computer like this, wouldn't it be awesome If you say, hey, there's another way, it's the way of peace, and I know how to get it to you. Or wouldn't it be awesome if the person who's just completely out of money would understand God's provision for them and not be stressed? Wouldn't it be awesome if the person who's just longing for a touch of kindness would receive that? That's what's in our world, right? Now, on Tuesday, we had a little trip to Canberra with some of our team. And we went to a pastor's day. That was brilliant. But, you know, as we drove back, I'm mulling over this. Ro and I are just pondering this message and just trying to go, how do we transmit this world of peace and loving kindness and justice? How do we get that into our world here? And I'm driving along and I look up and I see, Naomi, what do I see? This is what I see. This is what I see. Thanks. Love them or hate them. Polarizing, aren't they? But I tell you, here's something powerful that I was thinking about. You see, as the wind is blowing, the atmosphere of loving kindness and peace and justice, right, in the fabric of our world, these things are spinning. And they're converting the wind to this little thing called a turbine into usable power. Stay with me. Wind is pretty useless, right? I mean, it's kind of annoying most of the time. You go out, it's cold and it's windy, and we complain, oh, it's windy. Great. Like, it's not terribly useful, I find. Like, what does it actually do for me? I'm sure somewhere in God's economy it does help something somewhere. But mostly it's either annoying or just a reminder of how cold it is. But look, these windmills convert something that's there into something usable. Electricity, now I can use that. I can plug a heater in. I can create things. Like, so these turbines convert atmospheric love and kindness into something that we can do. That's us. Like, that's you. You are a giant windmill. Love them or hate them. You might turn up to work and people don't want you there. They might complain that the cows don't sleep or something. But actually, think about this. If you can be a converter of God's loving kindness and God's peace and God's justice and used in some usable power into the person next to you, you're a big wind turbine. You're a converter or a conduit or a pipeline. That's what Jesus did. He took what was in heaven and brought it down to something usable so we could look and feel and touch. So the incarnation, God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That's what this is. People don't understand God, but they can understand you when you buy them a coffee. They can understand you when you visit them and pray for them. They can understand you when you stand up for something that's wrong in their world and go, I'm going to fight that with you. I'm going to stand by you. They understand that. It takes flesh and blood, doesn't it? You and I are the feet and the hands of God. Now, this is where, look at this. This is the scripture here for us. Jesus. In Acts 10:38, it says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. See that? That's all Jesus did. He was anointed with power by God, and he just went about doing good. I'm going to grab the musos up on the stage because I want to finish with two thoughts. Doing good. Doing good. How can we convert what God has already written into the DNA of our world into something that's usable, something that's powerful, something that's tangible, something that has connective qualities, not just something distant? There's two areas of this. One is personal, you and me, personal responsibility. The other one is together. How do we do good personally? What's my personal responsibility or personal opportunity? And then what could we do together? The words of Richard Foster, who I reference in the Life Build Academy this week. The first area in the struggle for social justice is the personal arena. This is critical, for we cannot work for justice and live in injustice. We cannot work for peace and live war. We cannot work for racial reconciliation and live bigotry. So we stand against all forms of pride and envy, anger, sloth, greed, gluttony, and lust within ourselves, for these destroy the good work we do in the world. We take the issues of sexual purity and rectitude with utter seriousness, for sexual distortion dehumanizes ourselves and others. We repudiate and crucify the self-sins within, self-promotion, self-pity, self-sufficiency, self-righteousness, self-worship, and we attack the inner citadels of arrogance and independence. We commit ourselves to honesty in all business dealings, integrity in all words and deeds, purity in all matters of morality, generosity of spirit in all things, and divine love toward all peoples. Wow. I couldn't write that myself. That's an astonishing personal call to doing good. Because unless we've got some measure of that in our world, it's hard to impact our world genuinely with integrity. So we start with ourselves. And this week, I'm going to guide you through these three things and just little simple practices today. How could you stand up for justice? How could you enter into someone's world with loving kindness? How could you bring peace to somebody's world? But then, this is where I get really excited. It's the together, it's the we. What big issues could we pray into and act upon? Being channels of the justice, loving kindness, and peace of God. And you don't need to have me tell you. Dave is telling you some of the issues of their world today. My goodness, where do you start? Looming housing crisis, cost of living pressures in our world. Genuine transformation for Indigenous communities. My goodness, read the Australian paper yesterday. Be shocked what's happening in some of our communities. Loneliness in our communities. Endemic racism. Dignity for the aged and dying. A global refugee crisis. Slavery and exploitation of women and children. Hunger. Where do you start? I'm not trying to depress you. I'm trying to excite you. What if we together could just, in our corner of the world, both in a little part of Thailand that we love, and a little Bathurst, that's enough. God has connected us with people. What can we do? What can we act into to be conduits of God's love and power? Not inventing it, not doing it without Him, but actually channeling His power. Making it usable. See, because when we're doing it in His ways, it's the same, and it works. When we do it in self-effort and self-promotion, then it'll end quick. Let's start dreaming together. Let's start building something that's sustainable and will bless and bring that sense of doing good. You with me? Why don't you stand? Sing that for a second, and then I'll just lead you in a prayer. Thank you. your life to Jesus as a living sacrifice to transform what he's done in your life to the world around you. So, Jesus, what can I do this week? Right now, make it really practical. Just offer your life this week. Jesus, say, use me. Use me for justice, loving kindness, and peace. Use me, Jesus, this week. Justice, loving kindness, or peace. Let me grab hold of what you have and channel it into my world. Right now, Holy Spirit, come even give us ideas, give us people, impressions, situations. Lord, give us your ideas for how we can bring this to our world. Together and individually. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. Stir us, empower us, build us, that we can build others. And Lord, may we receive some of your heart for some of the things in our world that need to change and the power to do so. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.